I trust you and yours are doing well.
We are. We're hanging in there, you know, adjusting to, I guess, this new life as normal as we know it at the moment. So it's been a challenge, which I know it has been for everybody, trying to figure out how to navigate through this and homeschooling and social distancing and the like. But happily, everybody in my household is safe and healthy, and we're figuring things out.
Very good news. You know, it's I covered the 90 Braves from a distance covering the Montreal Expos, and so I remember the havoc you guys wreaked in that franchise for a long time. But the 92 Blue Jays, what goes through your mind, Tom, when people ask you about the 92 Jays?
Just a really well-balanced team. You know, a team that top to bottom in their lineup, they had guys that can hurt you, you know, not necessarily, you know, big boppers throughout the lineup, but certainly a lineup that had pretty good balance. They had guys that could hit. They had guys that had some speed, certainly had the guys with the pop, you know, a guy like Joe Carter in the middle of that lineup. So, you know, that part was good, and they certainly had good pitching. You know, Jack Morris, Jimmy Key, I mean, those guys were certainly big-time starting pitchers. I think the other thing that jumps out at me was their defense, particularly their outfield defense. So really well-rounded team, and a team, obviously, that you know, we knew was going to be tough to beat, and we found out firsthand.
You know, Tom, that was an incredibly close series. You know, I covered that series, and I think, you know, when you know the outcome, you say, well, the Jays in six, it's but there are a lot of points. You had two great starts in that series, by the way. Should mention that. But when you kind of look at turning points in that series, Tom, like where it tipped, there was, you know, there was only one game that wasn't close. That was the one you guys won in Game 5. But where do you think that series was won by the Blue Jays or, you know, lost by the Braves?
I mean, I think turning point was Game 2. I think it was Ed Sprague that hit the home run off of Jeff Reardon in the ninth inning. We had a 4-3 lead going into the ninth inning, and Sprague hits the home run, gives Toronto a 5-4 lead, and you know, we go from being up 2-0 going to Toronto to being, you know, 1-1 in a series going to Toronto, and you know, in those days with the 2-3-2 format, you know, much different going on the road 1-1 versus up 2-0. And you know, I think psychologically for us, that was a big blow. I think you do your best, obviously, in that environment, that setting, to put it behind you and move on and get ready for the next one. But, you know, I think that looking back, I mean, there's no guarantee, but obviously looking back at it, I think it certainly was a blow to us, both on the scoreboard and psychologically, to go to Toronto in a 1-1 series versus a 2-0 series.
Tom, those Braves teams of the 90s are sort of really fascinating to examine, just because of the remarkable sustained excellence that you guys had. In 1990, your team is 65-97. Russ Nixon gets fired, replaced by Bobby Cox. And then the next year, 91, you jump to 94-68, and you eventually start basically on this incredible run. What changed? Was it just the maturation of young guys at the time like yourself? Or did something fundamentally change between those 2 years where you made this, you know, nearly 30-game improvement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a little bit of both of those things. Certainly the maturation process, and that started really at the tail end of 1990. You know, we had a tough year, obviously, in 1990 record-wise. But when you look at that team and you look at that year, you saw a lot of those guys that were the nucleus of that team in 91 that won the division and then started that whole run. You saw a lot of those guys were in the big leagues. You know, you had David Justice, you had Ronnie Gant, you had Jeff Blauser, you had myself, Smoltz, Avery. So all the pieces were starting to get there. And I think the big thing for us, at least from a pitching standpoint, was the second half of that year, we were pretty good. Our ERA went way down from, I don't know exactly what it was, but I want to say our ERA went down almost by a run and a half or two runs the second half of the year. And you know, while maybe we weren't winning games, it was certainly a step in the right direction. And I think the kind of thing that really made the organization evaluate where we were and what we needed going into that offseason in 1990 and the start of the 1991 season. And, you know, John Schuerholz came over as our GM then. Bobby was in the manager seat. And, you know, they made a decision that with the young guys that we had on that rotation, the biggest thing we needed was guys who could play defense. You know, and I mean, aside from Smoltz, you know, most of us were contact guys, and we needed guys behind us to make plays. So that was the winner. They went out. They got Terry Pendleton to play third base. They got Rafi Belliard to play shortstop. They got Sid Bream at first base. We had, you know, Otis Nixon, I think, in center field. So we had the nucleus of guys now on the field that could catch the ball. And I know for a guy like me, when you know the guys behind you can play defense, it does a world of good for your confidence. You know, in those days, you know, it wasn't the strikeout, walk, home run outcome of today's game. It was put the ball in play and let your defense work for you. And it's easier said than done when you don't have guys behind you that you have a lot of confidence in. But I can promise you, for a guy like me, man, seeing those guys make plays behind you, it was like, all right, good. You know, let me get the ball in the zone. Let these guys go to work. And I think that, as much as anything, was you know, were the two big keys. Our maturation as a staff the second half of 1990, but then really bringing in those guys in 1991 with an emphasis on defense and catching the ball.
You know, Tom, Stephen made the point about the two starts you had in that World Series, which were both really good. You gave up 10 hits in total, three of them to Pat Borders, who had a pretty good series.
Yeah, MVP, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he had a very good series.
Yeah.
What is the difference, Tom? Because you pitched a lot in the postseason, obviously. Is there a difference between a guy who was on a roll in the postseason and a guy who was on a roll in the regular season in terms of how you approach him?
I don't know. I don't know that there's a lot. You know, I think it's you know, during the regular season, it's a little bit easier maybe to have a game plan against a guy that's on a roll because you have familiarity, you know, and you know, you might have a scouting report on a guy, and then you can add or subtract that to that scouting report based on your familiarity with that guy, but also knowing where he is at that point in time. So, for instance, you get a guy that, you know, you got a pretty good scouting report on, and you know you can attack certain ways when he's playing his normal game. You're going to deviate that from that a little bit if a guy's swinging a bat really well, because then it kind of goes out the window, you know. And conversely, you might have a guy that you might want to be a little bit more careful with at certain times, but you know, man, he's not swinging the bat really well right now. You may throw caution to the wind and be more aggressive against a guy like that. So I think when you have familiarity with a guy, it makes it a little bit easier to take those ebbs and flows and put them in your game plan. When you don't have so much familiarity with a guy, it's a little bit harder to trust what you think you can or cannot do in a given situation. Look, obviously when a guy's hot, he's hot, and he's hot for a reason. And you take note of that. But when you don't have that much experience with a guy, it's a little bit harder to look at him based on a scouting report or maybe some video and say, well, geez, man, he's hitting this pitch now that he wasn't hitting a month ago. You know, I can't go there on him right now because he's handling that pitch, whereas before he wasn't. So you don't have a lot of that. You just kind of go on the notion that, man, he's swinging the bat really well. And I think it lends you to be maybe a little bit more cautious, particularly in crucial situations. But, you know, I, like I said, I guess it's just that I think the familiarity plays so much of a role in your confidence in either being careful with somebody or being on the attack with somebody based on whether they're hot or cold at that moment.
Hey, Tom, what was it like? You know, Bob Cox is a guy we got to know up here, obviously, before he went to Atlanta. But what was it like playing for Bobby Cox?
I mean, he is the greatest. I know there are a lot of great managers that have been in the game and, had an opportunity to go in the Hall of Fame with three of them. You know, La Russa and Torrey being the other two along with Bobby, but, I can't imagine that there was a better guy to play for. You know, Bobby was so good at keeping things simple, and keeping everybody on the same page. I mean, you know, he really had three rules. You showed up on time, you wore your uniform the right way, and you played hard, and that was it. And, you know, he wanted you, when you walked in that clubhouse, you checked your ego at the door. You were a roster of 25 guys, and you needed all 25 guys and maybe more throughout the course of the year to get to where you wanted to get, and try to win a world championship. And he had a tremendous way of making that 25th guy on the roster feel just as important as anybody else. He had a tremendous ability to put guys in situations where he could get the most out of them and they could be the most successful. And that sounds simple, but a lot of guys don't do that. You know, a lot of guys will put a player in a situation and ask him to do things that, you know, they're not wired to do. And Bobby never did that with guys. He did his utter best to put guys in situations where they could succeed. But I think more than anything else, he fought so hard for us night in and night out. You know, obviously he's got the 100-plus ejections, and a lot of those come with good reason. A lot of them were just that he's trying to fight for every edge that he could get for us. And I think as a player, when you see that, you can't help but want to come to the ballpark and play hard for him night in and night out. I mean, I've said it so many times where, you know, he was like a second father to me. And if I went out there and I had a bad game, it was like I let my dad down, you know. And none of us ever wanted to do that, obviously, as a kid. So when you have a manager of your team that elicits that feeling from his players, then, man, he's a guy that obviously everybody respects and loves, and that was Bobby.
Tom, how many World Series should that Braves team have won?
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, because I look at the one that we won against Cleveland, and really the only difference in us winning that series versus some others is, you know, we had some things go our way. We had maybe some breaks that we didn't have in some of those other series. You know, you look at, again, look at us in 91 against Minnesota. You know, we had the base running situation with Lonnie, where he lost sight of the ball, where he could have easily scored, and we win that game. We had the bases loaded, nobody out inning in that game seven. We weren't able to score. So, you know, little things like that turn out to be the difference. You look at the Toronto series in 92. If Ed Sprague doesn't hit that home run in game two, like I said, maybe it's a different series. We'll never know. But it's just little things like that that we weren't able to do that we were able to do against Cleveland. Now, I will say, could we have won some more? Yeah. The only one I really feel like we let get away was the 96 series against the Yankees. For us to go into New York, take two on the road, come home up 2-0 and not win that series, I think that's the one that we look back at and kick ourselves over. The other ones, I think, like I say, you can make a legitimate argument that, you know, hey, if this thing goes our way or that thing goes our way, you got a different series. And that's, you know, sometimes that's just luck. Sometimes you don't have the luck of a bounce or the luck of a play. And you can do everything right in a series, so to speak, and not win. And I think more than anything other than that 96 series against the Yankees, I think that was kind of the case in the other ones that we didn't win.
Hey, Tom, listen, it was really good to join for you to join us today. Thanks so much. And it's great to talk. It's great to talk some hardcore baseball. And we wish, you know, we want you and yours to be well. Stay safe, and we'll be chatting again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. You guys stay safe as well, and hopefully we'll have some real baseball to talk about before too long here.